Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Corinthians 15, verse 33, the NIV reads it like this. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. One other translation says corrupts good morals. So the people you hang out with determine who you are, who you become. Friends are like elevators. They take you up or they take you down. There is no in between. Life moves at the speed of relationships. You may be seated. This is our fourth and final installment in Squad, Building Your Inner Circle. We've received such great feedback from so many of you here at the church about this series. And I said it last week or maybe week before last that this is probably the most simplistic thing that I can talk about and preach, but it is one of the most necessary things, relationships, who we're spending life with, who we're doing life with, but it's also probably the least implemented thing. And it's something that we like to amen about, but we really don't like to make changes because there's a lot of us like me that fight change. You want things. Once you get in the rhythm of life, you might want them to stay the same. And so we've received a lot of great feedback about this message, but I was talking to one of the great members of this church who has grown so much since I have met him. And this past week, I said, so what do you think about this series? And he said, man, this, to be honest with you, Pastor, he said, this series is tough for me to listen to. And I said, why is that? He said, because I don't feel like I'm at a level that I should be in anybody's squad. That I don't feel like I have anything to offer. And I just took about 6 or 8 minutes, and I fired him up as much as I could, and I told him, listen, everybody has something to offer. Once you give your life to Jesus, you've got a whole testimony now of the people that God brought you away from, the people that God brought you out of, that now you are a testimony to them. And so then we talked about the five, and I said, at the end of the day, before you can build a squad of five, you need two people in your life. You need one person pouring into you and one person that you're pouring into. And so you find somebody that's further in their journey of faith and let them start pouring into you. And then you find somebody around you that you're connected to that is not as far in their journey. Because I promise you, as quick or as new as your journey seems to you, you are further down the road than someone else. So I wanted to share that sentiment so that I can encourage somebody today that maybe for the last 4 Wednesday nights you've been sitting here and you might have been saying the same thing, that I feel like I don't have anything to offer, that I don't have anything to bring to the table. That is a lie from the devil. It comes straight from the pit of hell. I want to tell you that once you said yes to Jesus Christ, you leveled up more than you know. Once you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you are now a vessel that God can move through freely, that God can speak, that God can work, that God can do something significant. And so don't believe the lie of the adversary. You are valuable. You have worth. God has done something in you. And whatever you have moved past has now become your testimony. What God brought you out of, I believe you have a specialization to bring people out of. So if God delivered you from crack cocaine, guess what? You're going to bring dozens of people deliverance that struggled with the same thing. If God brought you out of an illicit lifestyle, guess what? You're going to bring hundreds of people out of those kinds. I believe that what God brings you out of, that is your testimony. That you have a special anointing to teach people, to lead people, to deliver people out of that thing. Somebody say amen. That's just to help somebody in the room that might be feeling that way. The last few sessions, we talked about the three things to build our inner circle, our group of friends. Three things as we manage our circle. We continually take inventory of our circle. We identify the depositors and the withdrawers from our circle. Remember, everybody in your life is either putting something in you or taking something out of you. You cannot operate at a level where more things are being taken out of you than what is being put into you. The five people you want in your circle is you need one person that is unbelievably strong in their faith, that they've got a testimony, that they've been through some things and they've come out, that they've got a lion's den story that they've got. Come on, the pit and the prison type stories that they beat cancer, that they've come out on the other side of this, that they were broken, homeless, and now God has blessed them to be. You've got to be around somebody that's been through something. Number two, you want to be around somebody who is strong, who has a strong marriage, not strong for moments, but strong and built to last. You need to spend time with people that have been married longer than you have been married, so that you have a focal point, something to focus on, something that when they talk from, you know that they're talking something that they live. You want to be around people that are a strong family, strong parents, have raised well-adjusted kids, well-balanced kids, kids that love Jesus, but that are also making strides in the community and that are a blessing to those around them. You want to be around people with great ministry purpose in their life. That it's not just about what can the church do for them, but they ask the question, what can I do for the kingdom of God? Realize that when you serve at Living Way, you are not serving Living Way, you are serving God. You are not advancing Living Way's agenda, you are advancing kingdom agenda. And so you need to get around people that understand what it's like to serve and not to just sit. And then finally, and this is probably the least most important, but it's in there, is you need to be around somebody who has money. And see, there's a lot of people who get tight when the church starts talking about money. Does God want me to have money? Sure, he does. Because there's a lot of people who do silly things when they don't have money. There are people that are serving long prison terms because they did not have money and they did something silly because they didn't have money. There are marriages that are broken up, not because of infidelity, but because of a lack of money. The marriage broke up. The kids grew up in broken homes without father or mother present or time split or stepfathers that abused them or stepparents came in that were not good for them. And all of that was stemmed because of a money problem that produced a marriage problem that produced broken homes that raised broken children. So money, to have money relieves, and I love what Jesse Duplantis says, anybody that says money cannot buy you happiness has never had a lot of money, because it can. But what it can't buy you is joy. But money can relieve a lot of pressures. But I really want to just take 30 seconds and tell you, don't take the Mother Teresa route, as great as she was, and say, well, I need to be poor here because I'm going to be rich there. Because can I tell you that if you will allow what God wants to do in your business and through the work of your hands, that you can literally bring people to Jesus because of what you sow into the kingdom of God. Not only that, you can feed the hungry, you can clothe the naked, you can bring healing to the sick. Do you know that cancer can be solved when we have people that can give enough money to find a cure? Do you realize that vaccines that can help us against some of the things that we're going through can be solved if somebody had enough money so that we could give to the creators and the people that are searching? So money can work. And so get around people that have more money than you. Not that hard to do if you're young. There's a whole lot of people that have more money than you. But once you start elevating yourself, you're going to have to start searching for people that are more blessed than you are. Somebody say amen. We ended last session talking about the sick man, the man with a palsy in Luke chapter 2, had four friends. The first friend had faith. Not faith in his friend, but faith in God. The number one thing you need to look at in your relationship is their relationship with God. How strong is it? How productive is it? How fruitful is it? And do they have faith? Which means you cannot rush into relationships. Because I need to see how you operate at your worst before I allow you to come close to me, because I've got too much that God has called me to do. You've got too much. Your marriage, your children, your future is invested in your relationship with God. And so the last thing you need to do is, because somebody quoted your favorite scripture and ran into you in the parking lot, that they become your BFF and you're going to have breakfast tacos with them and you're going to go vacation with them. No, you've got to give them time, because I don't need to see you at your best. I need to see you how you respond at your worst. And if your faith is strong at your worst, then I won't mind you getting close to me in my circle. You need someone that has faith in God. Number two, you need somebody that loves. Now, loving God, we talked about, is a given. You should be around people that have a love for Jesus, a genuine love for Jesus. Our world is shaking. The things that have happened in our great nation in the last 48 hours are horrific, and it all comes down to one thing, love. They do not love. They do not walk in love. They do not stand in love. And you can't talk about a God that you love, 1 John 4 says, whom you have not seen, if you cannot love the brothers and the sisters, no matter what their sexual orientation is, no matter what their religion is, no matter what their color is, no matter what their sex is or what it used to be, we are called to love. God is the one that judges. We love, and I don't have to like you to love you. I don't care what you do against me. I have to love everybody, and we need to be people that love no matter what. When we talk about love, we're loving God is the given, but we're talking about people that love you. You don't want to be around people that say they love you but talk about you behind your back. We don't want you to be in relationship with people that say they love you but are really manipulating your back so that they can get higher up the corporate ladder. Everybody that says they love you at your job doesn't really love you. They're just getting close to you so they can stab you in the back and use you as the next rung on the ladder. But listen, God will give you discernment. You need to stay away from her. You need to stay away from him. Yep, that's the one you need to get in with because they're going to usher in another great season in your life. You need people that love you unconditionally. Which, faith, I need to see you at your worst. But love, I have to allow you to see me at my worst. Oh, come on now. See, faith makes me look at you from afar and say, will they have faith in God when everything goes bad in their life? But love makes you take a step back and me take a step back and say, now that I'm at my worst, do they still love me unconditionally? Because that's how God loves me. And I want people in my life that love me with all of the wrinkles, with all of the scars, with all of the testimony, with all of the liabilities. I want people that love me. Your third friend is the Holy Ghost friend. You need one. You probably need about 12. But you better have one. You better have a friend that when you say, will you pray for me, they just skip English. You need a friend that when you say, will you pray for me, they don't say Gloria a Dios. They just go straight into tongues. Why? Because I don't even have to know your situation. I know a God that knows your situation. Holy Ghost allows me to put some power. And I love what we said last week. Holy Ghost is what brings a breakthrough. That's why it's called a breakthrough. You have to have a power like we just sang about that moves mountains, kicks down walls, and tears down strongholds. You need a friend in your life that is that crazy in the Holy Ghost that they will run up into the hospital when you're sick, lay hands on you, anoint you, and resurrect your sick body. Need a friend like that. Just Tammy Green, pastoral team. She's that person. There is no dignified prayer. There is no quiet prayer. There is no meek and timid prayer. When Tammy Green walks in the room, it's like Jesus walking up to Lazarus' tomb. Something is about to happen. Life is about to come back. Power is about to be displayed. God is getting ready to perform something. And only a Holy Ghost friend can do that. See, some of your friends are saying, well, here's three things you need to do. Sometimes I don't need the three. I just need the Holy Ghost. I need somebody. See, when you're in the world, every group has that one crazy person. That you know before you leave the club, you're going to have to fight your way out. You're going to have to run. Oh, don't. You've been acting like you've been saved a long time now. You say, I don't have a friend like that. That's because you were that friend. We know. But when we get saved, we got to move and shift that we get some people around us that don't mind invading hell, that don't mind fighting with us, fighting for us, fighting shoulder to shoulder, sometimes stepping around and fighting in front of us, sometimes lifting up our hands and praying in our ear, I'm not letting you go down like this. I'm not letting you punk out like this. I'm not letting you backslide. I'm not letting you give up on your marriage. I'm not letting you say that about your son that's prodigal. I'm not letting you go down that road again. That slaps the drink out your hand. That slaps the joint out your hand. You need somebody, and that only happens through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost. If you're that Holy Ghost friend, raise your hand real quick. All right, look around you. That's the Holy Ghost friends. That's who you need to hang out with. Now we get to number four. We've been waiting all week. Pastor Mandy, she couldn't wait. She made me tell her the other morning. So we got our faith friend, our love friend, our Holy Ghost friend. And then we got to understand that you got to have a friend that don't mind doing something. That's the doer or the worker. We've all got friends that like to talk. And that's all they do. They talk about everything, and they talk it to death. They talk it so much that they will talk you out of working. And we get used to hearing what they're going to do. Sooner or later, you've got to shut down the talk, and you've got to start doing something. James said it like this. James said that everybody needs a doer. Come on. Everybody needs to have somebody that does it. James chapter 2 says this, that faith without works is dead. Your squad needs somebody who will work and do the possible so that God can do the impossible. We're about to go back here to Luke chapter 2. James chapter 2 verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being by itself. So listen, you've got to have a faith friend, but you've got to have a friend of faith that doesn't mind actually getting down where the dirty work starts in the mess and actually doing something. You need a friend that doesn't just praise with you on Sunday, but will fight for you on Thursday. You need a friend that says, hey, I don't mind coming to your house and coming up with a plan of attack on how we're going to get you back on your feet again, on how we're going to get your marriage back on the right track. You need a friend that says, I don't mind praying for you. I don't mind praising with you. But now let's do something about it. Let's become proactive. Let's actually do something and not just say something. You got to evict the people out of your circle who talk more than they produce. The older I get, the more I don't need to hear, say what you're doing. I need you to tell me what you've done, and I really like to hear you while you're doing it. See, my kids, I learned something very quick about my kids, that I could tell them what to do, and they look at me like I'm speaking German. But when I show them what to do, while I'm telling them how to do it, it clicks in their mind. None of us, we'd all still be wearing Velcro shoes if mama, auntie, or grandma didn't tell us about the bunny ears and about going in the hole in the tree and coming around the corner. Because if they would have just slid a piece of paper in front of you or gave you 30 seconds of lecture and dialogue on how to do it, we'd all still be wearing Velcro shoes. But thank God we had somebody in our life that said, I'm not going to tell you how to do it only. I'm going to get down in the trenches, and I'm going to take your hand if I have to and guide your hand, and I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to have you show me, and then if you mess up, I'll get back in there and work. You need somebody, and so if they're not working, serving, or doing, you need to evict them out of your circle and say, Pastor, that's so hard to do. No, it's not. You don't have to tell them you're getting rid of them. Just distance yourself. Quit answering the phone every time they call. Leave them on red. For everybody under 25 that understands that phrase, that means when they send you that text and then it shows up that you read it, you don't reply to it, meaning I'm not going to be coming at you or answering every time you call me. I'm not waiting with bated breath for you to text me back. I'm out living my life and doing my thing, and if you can't keep up with me, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave you in that season because I'm going to a new season. I'm working on myself, which means I'm working on my squad, and when I get my squad right, I'm going to elevate, and I'm elevating at a level that evidently you don't want to elevate to yet And so I might see you down the road, but for right now, it's so long. I'll see you later, maybe. I love this. Miracles happen when faith and obedience intersect. You can talk. See, but what I love about living, we're a faith church, right? We got the greatest preacher of faith in the world, Bishop Steve. Been preaching faith at Living Way 45 years. 90% of his sermons are on faith. Coming right back to faith, 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 faith. And I love Living Way because we are a faith church. We're a declaration church. We are calling those things that are not as though they are. We are looking in and seeing vision and seeing God. But let me tell you something. We don't work here. This is not where we do. This is where we faith. When you walk out the doors of this church and your feet hit the blacktop, now it's time to do. When you get to your job tomorrow, that's when you do. When you get home tonight and your husband has had a few to drink and he's leaned back in the recliner, that's when you do. When you get a text from your daughter that you ain't talked to in 60 days, that's when you do. When you get bad news, that's when you do. When life's not right out there, that's when you do. You faith here and you do there. Faith and obedience. Say, why hasn't God done it yet? Because you've been all about faith and not about work. Not about obedience. I'm just going to call it. I'm going to call it in. I'm going to call it in. Let me tell you something, sweetie. You can stand in this room for the rest of your life, and you can talk about God's going to bless me. God's going to favor me. God's going to give me $1 million. You can say it until Jesus comes back. $1 million and $100 bills are not going to float down from the ceiling tile. But when you say, God's going to bless me, God's going to give me favor, and then you show up to your job early with a great attitude, and you serve, and you do what you're supposed to do, and you keep your head down, and you don't speak ill of your boss, and you're a great employee, and then your boss notices that and says, hey, I've been meaning to tell you, we've got a new position, and it comes with a $10,000 raise, and then God says, see, there's faith and obedience, it intersected, and now I can bless you. I'm looking for somebody to squat up and say, I don't need just faith, people. I need somebody that will do something and obey the word of God. Somebody say amen. If you want to move forward and level up in your life, your hand has to work. Take your notes. Write this down. Your hand has to work as hard as your mouth is loud. Your hand has to work as hard as your mouth is loud. I can't hardly watch ESPN anymore. Because all their shows are two grown people arguing and screaming at each other. Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp, and 50 other guys just yelling, yelling, yelling. And I tell you, it's an old saying, more true now than ever, talking. Your value is not in what you say, your value is in what you do. And there's too many people that are chirping, yes, the greatest season of your life starts right here in your mouth, but your hands have to match your mouth. Your feet have to match your mouth. And so your hands have to work as hard as your mouth is loud. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start from the beginning here just to catch everybody up real quick. And again, Jesus entered in Capernaum. After some days, it was noise that he was in the house. Straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. Jesus preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of the four. So we've been talking about the four friends, faith, love, Holy Ghost. We just talked about the worker, the doer. Verse 4, when they came nigh unto the press, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. See, if you had only showed up with faith, love, and Holy Ghost, and it was packed, those friends would have said, it's not your day, we'll try again on his next tour. But some friends might say that because they're healthy. But when you're lying on the bed, you don't want to wait for the next go-round. You don't want to wait for the next Sunday. You don't want to wait for the next conference. You don't want to wait for the next worship night. You don't want to wait for that, and so I love these friends because he had faith, he had love, he had Holy Ghost, but there was a doer in the midst. There was a worker, because when the worker saw the crowd, he said, I got an idea. We're going to go up to the top of this roof. We're going to break a hole in that roof. We're going to lower our friend down, and we're going to do whatever it takes to put him in the presence of Jesus, because I know if I can put him in the presence of Jesus, he's not going to lay on that bed forever. God is going to work a miracle to get him up. Who you have in your life matters, and he had the four right people for the job. I love when God shows me new things. This is going to bless some of you, some old school church people that have heard this story 50 times. I believe at least one of his friends had already been to the house. Jesus was there. Perhaps they were there for their miracle. Get around people in your life that are around the miraculous often, because they know what it takes to get to the miraculous. Get around people that it's not been 6 years since they had a Jesus move. Get around people that every day they talk to him. Every day they walk with him. Why? Because I know that your words are tested by your obedience. I know that what you have in your life is a fresh move. It's a fresh work. It's fresh favor. So I believe that one of those friends, at least one, had already been to the house. Perhaps they had received their own miracle. And the reason I say this is because someone said, let's take our friend Jesus. Then the doer said, but hey, faith, love, before we leave the house, before we put him on the bed, I need you to go get some rope. Why do we need rope? Because I've been where we're about to go. And I know that there's going to be some obstacles that are standing in between our friend and his miracle. And so I'm telling you that you're going to need some rope. Rope is not something that they would normally carry with them on this journey. And so it took a friend that had been there and done that to speak up and said, I know what it takes. When we get there, there's going to be about 500 people in the front yard. They're going to be packed in that room, but I've already scouted it out. There's a stairway up to the roof. Come on, somebody. And when we get there, you're going to bring the pickaxe. I'm going to bring the crowbar. You're going to bring the rope. And we're going to have us a little demolition. But when we get done with the demolition, come on, you got to have some friends that will go the extra mile. You got to have some people in your squad that will work to get you your miracle. And they're up there with a jackhammer, a pickaxe, and a crowbar. And they're making a way for their friend to get to Jesus. Get a friend that has a plan. Get a friend that has been there. So the question comes down to this: do you have the right four? Have the right four. Jaden, if you'll come down, I need you to lay down. Don't go to sleep now. Sure, I preach some other people to sleep, but now it's time for you to lay down. You're going to be the paralytic, the palsy. Now you need four friends. I need for Jaden's faith friend to come up right now. If you're her faith friend, I need you to come up. Come on up, here he comes. I need her love friend to come up. You need some love. I need your Holy Ghost friend to come up. And then I need that working friend to come up. I need all four of y'all to come up. Jaden needs some help. She needs to get to Jesus. Can you help her get to Jesus? You love Jaden. You want her to get to Jesus, right? Emma, you're the worker bee, right? You're bringing it now. You got to be able to lift her up. Can you carry her? You can't carry her by herself, but you can carry her with you through. And look, here's my... I love the faith friend, because the faith friend has a testimony. The faith friend has been through some stuff. The faith friend is that friend that said, I've been around Jesus. I know what it takes to get a miracle. I know what it takes to come through hell. I know what it takes to overcome the world. I know what it takes to get a bad report. But to rise up and say, nope, I'm not going down like that. I'm not going to wuss out. I'm not going to punk out. I'm going to believe that what God said he would do, he will do. You got to have a faith friend. And then Kelsey's that Holy Ghost friend. Everybody needs a Kelsey. So we got faith, love. We got faith, love. We got work. We got Holy Ghost. We got the paralyzed. Now I need y'all to all get on the same page. I need you to pick her up, and I need you to take her to Jesus. Go ahead. Pick a direction, pick her up, and let's go. I like that. You got your count going on? All right, You got to have friends that can get on the same page with you. There we go. Walk it out. They're all working together. All right, set her down. Set her down. Now I need everybody to turn around. I need faith. Love, have you had enough? Are you through? Love is through. Look at him. He don't want any more. Love, go back to your seat. Love, go back to your seat. Love, go back to your seat. And see, when love walks out, you got to have that fifth friend. There's that fifth friend I talked about that can sub for love. You see, love was struggling a little bit. I don't know if he loved Jaden as much as he says he loved Jaden. But then Alyssa comes in. I know Alyssa loves Jaden with a great French. And so I believe that now this time when they count to three and they pick her up, they're not going to struggle as much as they did the first time. So count your three, get on the same page, and bring Jaden to Jesus. Oh, look at that. So much smoother. Look at that. All right, now put it down. Jaden, you're dismissed. Now we'll see how strong you really are. Faith, Holy Ghost, work. Yeah, we're going to need a double dose of love. Come on in, Sam. Alyssa, on the count of three, pick me up and carry me to Jesus. Yeah, I need to get to Jesus. I'm dying here. You know why they couldn't get me to Jesus? Because they're too young and they're too small. Which means that I've outgrown my circle. And see, some of us have not risen to the level that God wants us to rise to. Some of us have not gotten to the place that God wants us to get to because we're still running around with kindergarten faith, first grade love, second grade work ethic, and third grade Holy Ghost. But when I became a man like Paul, I put away childish things. I said, hey, love, I appreciate you, but I'm gonna get some better love. I'm going to get some better work. I'm going to get some better Holy Ghost. So you guys can go sit down. I think I've graduated. I need some real love. Can real love come down and help me? Can real faith show up? I need some real faith. Can I get somebody that really knows how to work? And then can I get some real Holy Ghost? Take me to Jesus. It's amazing when you get the right people around you, what God can do in your life. Can I encourage everybody in this building to get you somebody that knows what it means to really love, to serve, to work, to have faith? Man, they're taking me far away. I can't even see where we're going. But I trust my friends. I trust those that have given their life to make sure that I get to where I'm going. Can I encourage you, build your circle? Can I encourage you, build your faith? Man, they're taking me all the way around. I thought they're going to take me outside. They're going to make me preach all the way back, but that's all right. I've got four that I can depend on. They ain't going to get tired. They're not going to get weary. They're going to do what it takes. They've got the rope. They've got the pickaxe, everything they need to get me to Jesus. I hope you're looking at your life right now. I hope that you're checking out everybody in your life. And I hope that you are getting somebody that understands, I will do what it takes. I will spend the time it takes. I will bleed. I will sweat. I will cry. I'll do whatever it takes to get me to Jesus. Hey, four of y'all, stay here. Check this out. You need your four to stay. Because the Bible says when he was put down in front of Jesus, Jesus didn't look at the palsy man. Jesus didn't look at his faith. Jesus didn't look at his condition. The Bible says he looked at the four friends' faith. You need friends that will stick with you. You need friends that will not put you in front of Jesus and then leave you be. You need friends that say, God, he doesn't have the faith. We had to put him on that bed and get him here. It might have even been against his will, but God, I'm asking, don't look at his faith. Look at my faith. Look at what I'm believing for. I believe that you can raise him up. I believe that he's not going to go home on that bed. Check this out. He looks at the forced faith. Pastor Beck, if you'll come. Looks at the forced faith. He looks at the man with the palsy. And he doesn't say, you're healed. He says, your sins are forgiven. It was never about getting him healed. You need friends that it was never about you getting what you wanted. It's about getting you what you needed. Because so many times, church, and we all know people like this, and we might be people like this, if God does a miracle for us, it's so easy for us to jet out like we just won the lottery. But when he says your sins are forgiven, that's such a weighty statement that even the Pharisees were like, what are you? And this is what Jesus said. Which do you think is easier for me to say, his sins are forgiven, or arise up, take up your bed, and walk, you're healed? Let me tell you something. God will always deal with the source, not the symptom. He's saying, if I can save you, you know I can heal you. But I'd rather deal with the most important thing first. Friends look beyond his condition and said, if we can get his spirit right, we can get his body right. If we can get him in tune with what God is doing, stand on your feet right now. He got the right four people around him. Jaden had the right four or five people around her. But some of us, like just like when those kids were struggling to carry me, they were struggling to carry me for two reasons. I'm too big and they're not strong enough. Some of us, our burdens are too big to carry to be surrounded by weak people. Gotta have somebody. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to make him do it because we didn't plan it. And I don't want him like pulling a hand. But Joe right here, Mr. Faith could carry me by himself over his shoulder right now. It would be tough for him. It would be uncomfortable for me. But get people around that are strong enough to carry you and your burden, but that say it's not about what God can do for you. It's about what God's going to do in you. Your sins are forgiven, has a dialogue with the Pharisees, and then he says this, rise up, take up your bed, and walk, and go home, one translation says. You know what I love about that in closing? What once carried him, he now carries. What once dominated him, he now dominates. Now it becomes a testimony, because the last time Kevin saw me, I was on the stretcher. Now I'm carrying the stretcher. The last time somebody saw you, you were addicted. Now you're over the addiction. Last time somebody saw you, you were sick, and now you've been healed. Can I encourage somebody today? Your squad matters. Get the right people in your life that are going to take you to Jesus, no matter what it takes. Thank you for the four. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jaden, and the five. Can I talk to those of you as we close out this series? I'm done. Maybe you're like the man that I talked to this week, and I love this brother with all of my heart. He said, Pastor, I just don't feel like I got much to offer. I'm here to tell you, you're better than you used to be. You're better than you think you are. But you're just a couple decisions away from your life lifting like that rocket was supposed to today, just taking off. If you've got to get yourself right before you get your squad right, I want you to join us in this altar. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, now is the time. If you're watching online, you'd like to give your life to Jesus, now is the time.